Well, first of all, I want to say a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here, all the mothers past and gone and already with the Lord. We're thankful for each one this morning. If you have your Bibles, we'll open to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily, that is, who secretly, bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And so Peter begins to tell these suffering Christians how to weed out the false and what to look for in the false teachers that will come among them. And it's interesting to note that they will deny the truth. They will turn from the truth. They will depart from the truth. And then they will have others that follow them, and they create their own little party and their own little sect and their own little following. And so Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and he tells us basically the same thing. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." So in this time of departing that he describes, the safe course is sound doctrine, good, godly teaching from the Word of God. He says, even denying the Lord that bought them. Now, I want you to stop and think with me just a moment. Is that even really possible for those that have been bought and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that they could ever deny Him to the point that they bring upon themselves swift destruction and finally fall away and be lost? Well, the Bible says, no, that's not possible. Listen, in the words of Jesus Himself in John 6 and 37, He says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose just a few."
Nothing.
There you go. Nothing. "I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." The last day is coming. in God's timetable. And I can tell you this morning that His timetable, it's not the same timetable we have. When He says swift destruction, that kind of gives us the idea that, boy, it's going to happen like that. And I guess from God's point of view, it is happening like that. But from our point of view, these years go on by, and now it's been 2,000. But you know what? Peter comes back and he says, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. In God's timetable, it's just a minute. No, it's not possible. So what's Peter talking about then? Those that deny the Lord. This word Lord is not the normal New Testament Greek word to describe the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a different word. This word here is basically talking about God as the Creator. And God as the Creator has given us all life and liberty. And so what he's saying is that the God who gave them life, they owed Him something. They owed Him honor and obedience, gratitude. And yet they turned against Him and denied Him. They made a profession. It was a false profession. But does that surprise us? I mean, when you turn back and look and see what Jesus said in that 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24, He says, another parable put He forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And so in that 36th verse, he is asked by his disciples, what does this mean? Expound to us this parable of the tares. He answered and said unto them, verse 37, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. So the kingdom has both the real and the false. The kingdom of God has both the children of God and the children of the devil. And so it should not surprise us that we have tares among the real. But the day is coming, beloved, when that last day dawns, the angels are going to come and gather up all the false. And they're going to be bound together and burned evermore. And we shall be free forever from the tares. So Peter is coming back and he's saying, look, these tares are among us still. They're the false teachers, the false professors. And he says, we will see them rooted out one day. Their doom is sure and certain. You can count on that. As he goes on in this second chapter of Peter, and he begins to define and tell them about some of the times past. Let's read on down in verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. That word pernicious means ruinous ways. Their ways which lead to ruin. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. When you turn over to Jude, you find him using almost the same language. In that little book of Jude, he says in verse 4, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day." So these fallen angels, Revelation can tell us in that 12th chapter about this war that went on in heaven, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And you know, Jesus makes a very interesting statement in that, I believe it's the 12th chapter of, that's the 10th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 10, as he's talking to his disciples, and they came back rejoicing because the devils were subject unto them. And this is what Jesus says to them, Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Now the ungodly were cast out of heaven. Their doom is certain. It's sealed. It's a sure and certain doom, not only for the fallen angels, but for the world of the ungodly. And then Peter begins to describe several of those events. Verse 5 of chapter 2. "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." Their doom was sure. It was certain. God brought a cataclysmic flood upon the earth. Now, I know there's a lot of people that laugh at that idea, and they don't believe it. But listen, do you know what is described in the book of Genesis? That when that flood came and the ark was floating on the waves, It said that the water covered the highest mountains 15 cubits above the highest mountains on the earth. That's why no matter where you go, no matter how high up you go, you find fossils of marine life, and you ask yourself, how could it possibly get there? Well, because there was a thing called the flood in the days of Noah. And so while the world scoffs, my dear brethren, God has shown us plainly the doom of the ungodly. First, in the flood that destroyed the world of the ungodly. Second, in turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, he condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. You know, God has given them warning. He's given people warning today that he made an example out of Sodom and Gomorrah, that people today should not live after that example, because it brings destruction, just like it brought destruction upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah then. Those who follow that way of ungodliness shall yet, without the mercy that God gives to repent, they shall likewise be destroyed, as he has promised they would be. And so, sure and certain doom God has given plenty of examples of. Will they heed it today? Well, not unless God softens hearts and gives them grace to see and to hear. Otherwise, they're going to go on a mad, long dash to hell. But then he comes back and he says that judgment is reserved. And I want you to know that the ungodly have already RSVP'd. They will be there. It's a sure and certain doom. And their destruction is certain. It's already fixed. And then he asks the question, how are we going to know these false teachers? Well, let's turn back over to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And he says in verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. It's still true today. By their fruits we shall know them. Look what he says in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. On that day, there's going to be a lot of deceived people, and they're going to be very shocked and surprised when they think they've got a ticket to get in, and Jesus says to them, depart from me, ye wicked, for I have never known you. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So it is by a man's life that shows the fruit there, as Mark can say in that seventh chapter of Mark. Mark chapter 7 and verse 18, Jesus says, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? What goes in is not going to defile us. It's what comes out of our heart and our mouth. Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So whatever comes out of our heart, manifested in our life by the words that we speak and the actions of our life, that's a fruit we show. That's the fruit we manifest. And by their fruits, he says, you shall know them. Every word and every action, we're all producing some kind of fruit. What's coming out of our hearts? What's reflected in our mouth? Because whatever comes out of the mouth reflects what's in the heart. So that should give us pause, should it not? Should give us great pause to think, what is coming out of my mouth then? What does my life reflect? In all the things I say and all the things I do, what kind of fruit are people seeing in my life and in yours? Well, in that, let's just read on down in this second chapter of 2 Peter. Because he comes down to let's start in verse 7. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You know, I'm glad that's in the Bible. Because if it wasn't for this verse, we'd have a big question mark always when we read about the life of Lot. But here the Lord comes back and he says, you know, he looked like he was just caught up in the whole world around him. But this verse says that his righteous soul was vexed every day in seeing and hearing the ungodly deeds of the wicked. And so sometimes it's hard for us to see what's on the inside of people, and we can't see their heart. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now here is a very precious verse. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. You know, sometimes we don't even know how to deliver ourselves from the situations of life. But God knows how. God knows how to deliver you today. And God knows how to deliver you when that final day comes. He knows how to deliver his people
yeah.
out of this fiery destruction that will come. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, and self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, and that ought to give us pause right there. When we start wanting to badmouth the politicians over us, we should seriously stop and think about these verses before us, that part of the expression of these false teachers is they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and hearts they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. And so you remember the story of Balaam, how that Balak came and hired him to curse the children of God as they were marching on their way to the promised land. And so Balaam would try. He would say, "Will you build me an altar and you give me 7 rams and 7 whatever the thing was." He had all these animals there and he sacrificed them and he called upon the Lord and he sought many times to curse God's people, but he could not. He could not, because God had given commandment to bless. And he, with all his enchantments, could not reverse what God had commanded. Isn't that true today? I tell you, if you are blessed and God has given the commandment to bless you, there is no enchantment against you that can ever turn back what God has said to you as a blessing in your life. And so Balaam tried, but he could not curse the people of God, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells, that is, these false teachers, false prophets, turning away from the truth of God. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. And that hasn't changed much, has it? I think back years ago when we had all these people on television, televangelists that were trying to win men to the Lord, they said, but really they were out just like these men to feather their own nest, and it comes to find out They were living an ungodly life and wound up going to jail because of their corruption. They promised them liberty while they themselves were the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And so there's one sure thing this morning that you can grab hold of and you can lock it down, and that is this. The true knowledge of Jesus Christ is the only way that you will escape the pollutions of this world. But when you are resting in that sure knowledge of Jesus Christ, you can escape all of the corruptions and the pollutions of this world. There is a wonderful knowledge. There is a knowledge that many are trying to bring into people's lives, but it leads them to destruction. But there is a knowledge in Jesus Christ that sets you free. And it's not a lie. It is the truth. He gives the real liberty. While they can only promise you liberty, but they can't fulfill because their own lives are caught up in corruption. For it had been better. Now listen to this. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. Who's he talking about? He's talking about false professors who've made a profession of following Jesus, who said they've repented and believed in Him and followed Jesus Christ, only to turn and deny Him. He said it had been better if they had never known the way of righteousness than to have known it and to turn from the holy commandments. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. And you know, I know there's a lot of boys and girls around the country in 4-H and things that they get those little pigs and they raise them up and they get them all cleaned up and comb their little old tails out and put a bow on them and they take them to the county fair and they win a big old prize and they get that pig back home and what's it do? It takes right off to that mud hole and it gets all dirtied up again. And that's exactly the way these false professors are. They're not really cleansed. They may appear like that for a bit, but when they go back all the way. What an astounding thing Peter could say. It would be better for them if they had never known the way of righteousness than to turn from the holy commandment. But you know, I'm thankful this morning that we serve a God.
Yeah.
That in this coming destruction that will come, He knows how to deliver the godly from that.
Yeah.
Thank you, dear Lord.